So let's spend a couple minutes learning together. Perek Dalet is so incredibly rich. Every perek here, every Mishnah here is rich. Perek Dalet in particular. There's so much. There are all those counterintuitive definitions with which the perek opens. The Chacham and the Gibor and the Asher and each of them is ex and the Mechubad and each of them is exactly the opposite, almost exactly the opposite of how society usually defines. We usually think of someone smart doesn't need to ask anyone else anything because I know everything, right? Someone who's powerful, who's strong, doesn't need any self-control because he could push everyone else around because he's the strongest guy on the block. And he has the biggest toys and the biggest car and the strongest gun, and he could do whatever he wants. And we often misunderstand that the usher is someone who's always, ravenously seeking more wealth. And we often think of someone who is mechubad as someone who steps on everyone else because he's so entrenched in his own kavod. And so the Ben Zoma opens the parak by pointing out that we could really, turn things on their head. If we're going to think about things logically and rationally, particularly if we inject, the idea that comes up repeatedly throughout the Perek, but maybe has its sharpest expression in Mishnah Dalet, Rabbi Levitas Ish Yavneh. Talks about being extraordinarily invested in anava. Ma'od ma'od havei shva ruach. You don't hear ma'od ma'od very often in the language of Chazal. This is a rarity, and it's a flag. As a matter of fact, I believe the lechem. I think the lechem Mishnah in Hilchos Deos, first two parak in Hilchos Deos, where the Rambam devotes himself to the halachas of Tikkun HaMidos. See, he writes there that even though in general the mitzvah of lachta b'drachav, the mitzvah d'oraisa, Rambam understands that the mitzvah d'oraisa of lachta b'drachav is the overall not only being kind and good and compassionate, which it certainly includes, but it's broader than that. For the Rambam, it's the entirety of Tikkun HaMidos, having a balanced approach to each dimension of the human personality, the human character. That's the mitzvah of lachta b'drachav, to adopt the divine model. The Lechem Mishnah understands based on what the Rambam describes it in the Mishnah Torah and the way the Rambam writes on his Perush in these Mishnayos, that Rabbi Levitas is presenting a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. Right? We think of Gzeirah D'Rabbanan in the world of Kashrus and Shabbos and so on and so forth, Din D'Rabbanan and but it appears that there's a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan in the world of Midos. That even though you ought to be the middle of the road, in Midos, but when it comes to Anava versus or Shiflas versus Gaiva is number one so incredibly corrosive, and number two so incredibly attractive that Chazal made a Din Rabbanan that you should veer away. Don't be down the middle. Veer away, further away from Gaiva. Veer towards a more extreme type of anav. The Gemara actually has a machlokas. It's how far should a Talmud Chacham, a drop of gaiva mixed with a lav anava or no gaiva whatsoever? But that concept is the concept recognizing the extraordinary, perhaps singular power of anava. Shechter often will mention the Orchid Tzaddikim writes that. Anava is the king of all the Midos Tovos. Gaiva is the king of all the Midos Ros. And that's what underpins the opening mission of the Perek also. When Ben Zoma gives all these counterintuitive definitions of who's a Gibor and who's an Asher and who's a Chacham, who's a Mechubad, they all make sense once you A, think about things rationally, instead of just sort of going the flow how everyone thinks. Actually think things through rationally, and with an appreciation for Anava. Then all of a sudden, you're going to be a lot smarter if you're open to everyone else's ideas. And you'll have the satisfaction that people want from wealth when you seek to derive satisfaction from what you have. It's actually a much more sensible way to go about things. Right? And so on and so forth. And with the Gibor and with the Mechubad, it all makes sense once you're actually thinking things through and coming from a place of anava, those ingredients. And this notion of thinking things through, again, there are so many mishnayos here that draw us in. But let's just take a look at one other spot in the parak, which really, in a sense, presents the peak, the acme of thinking things through. There's a pair of mishnayos in the edition that I'm looking at. It's mishnayos Tes Zayin and Yud Zayin, the statements of the Tana Rabbi Yaakov. We don't hear the Tana Rabbi Yaakov very often. It's a very rare name. But although his name is obscure to us, the ideas he presents in these two mishnayos are in many ways the foundation of all of Machshavas Yisrael. If you're thinking Mesil Shisharim terms, the two statements, the statements he makes here are the basis for, they are the basis for Perek Alpha Mesil Shisharim, where it all begins. What Rabbi Yaakov tells us, this is the basics of our perspective on the world. Trying to figure out why are we here, which the Mesil Shisharim, Ramchal points out the open lines of Mesil Shisharim. You know, the foundation of any, you know, methodical approach to real substantive growth, Yisod HaChassidus V'Shor Sharvot HaTmima, the beginning of building something substantive in terms of religious growth is to really spend time thinking about why are we here and what, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to invest, you know, the time and the resources he gave us on this planet. And that all comes back to Mishnah Tazayin and Mishnah Yudzayin. Let's take a peek. Rabbi Yaakov says, put everything into perspective. Ha'olam hazeh domo leprozdor, b'fnei ha'olam haba. This world is a lobby to get into the ballroom of olam haba. Haskein atzmecha b'frozdor, k'dei she'tikon satraklan. He says, prepare yourself in the prozdor so you can enjoy the traklan. Now, why is he giving that second piece of advice? In part because we've heard this notion before, in relation to Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, and he's highlighting that doesn't mean Olam Hazeh is, you know, it's the pits. It's not really where the action is. No, Kadosh Baruch Hu created a two-stage, chose to design a two-stage reality for human beings, for the universe. That's because each step is absolutely critical. Each step is absolutely critical. The way the Ramchal unpacks it, Rav Arya Kaplan points out, it's rooted in the words of Rav Sadia Gaon in Emunas V'Deis, over 1,000 years ago. Kadosh Baruch Hu was interested in creating a universe in order because he was interested in being beneficent and doing good for others, which would require good and others. And we are the others. And Kadosh Baruch Hu designed the ultimate omnipotent creator and designer. So he designs the ultimate context for transmitting goodness and pleasure, which is not where we are right now. One looks around and sees immediately that this is not the ultimate context for, you know, maximally efficient delivery of pleasure. As Ramchal goes on to explain, the way Roshlam chose to design the universe, we enjoy things that much more profoundly if we've earned them in some way, if we own them in some way. And so Kadosh Baruch Hu decides to create a second context, which is not optimized for delivery of pleasure. It's optimized the ultimate arena of challenge, the ultimate opportunity for creating our Olam Haba. And that is Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh is definitely the ultimate Olam HaNisayon. We are surrounded all the time. Every which way, every aspect of life presents challenges, which means, you know, Ramchal points out, if all there was to life was Olam HaZeh, so we have We have an IT expert on this call. If Almazeh was WYSIWYG, to use the old terminology, if Almazeh was what you see is what you get, and all that there is what you see, so that would be quite a downer. Because if all there was an Olam HaNisayon, that would be a tough pill to swallow. But taken in the context of it being a two-phase reality, this is the two pieces fit together. Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa fit together like pieces of a puzzle. Olam HaBa is the missing piece of the puzzle. It's the Olam HaNisayon that's creating the extraordinary Tanug of Olam HaBa. Then already things begin to make sense. Things begin to take shape. And life here is put into remarkable perspective. Olam HaZeh is Doma Lefrozdar Bifnei Olam HaBa. Haskein Asma B'chavis, he says, it makes Olam HaZeh so much more valuable. Haskein Asma Bifrozdar, because this is where you're creating your Troklin. This is where you're creating your Troklin. And then he goes on to say, in Mishnah Yud Zayin, he says, so let's consider what this means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yachol. God can create whatever he wants. Not only that, but if we're believing Jews and we're thinking rationally, then every pleasure in this, in our lives, every pleasure in our, not just in our lives, every pleasure in this world, whether it's legal or illegal, licit, illicit, moral, immoral, it's all a creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that things are enjoyable, it's not despite the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's because he chose for it to be that way. Right? The fact that a well-marbled steak is far more enjoyable than overcooked broccoli, it's because Ribbono Shel Olam created us and it that way, such that it's enjoyable. Again, it's not only for benign pleasures. Every pleasure under the sun is enjoyable because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it this way. So now take a step back and think. Every pleasure in this world is a creature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was made the way by Ribbono Shel Olam, who is Kol Yachol, and who was not designing Olam HaZeh as an Olam HaTanug. The pleasures of this world are incidental, necessary for the purpose of Olam HaZeh. Sometimes it may be to give someone some happiness and joy right here. Sometimes it may be to serve as a nisayon. It could be for a host of different reasons. But the pleasures of this world are incidental to the design purpose of the design purpose of this world, which is to be Olam HaNisayon. While the same divine creator created Olam HaBa, which was meant to be an Olam HaTanug, which is going to be optimized as the ultimate in pleasure. So just thinking rationally, it stands to reason that if I could take the entire sum total of all pleasure in this world, legally, illegal, licit, illicit, moral, immoral, and I compressed it all, the sum total of all pleasure in this world would not add up to a whiff of Olam HaBa, which was designed by the same creator to be a place of Tanu, which is exactly what he says in the next Mishnah. Yafa Sha'acha Shel Koras Ruach Ba'Olam HaBa Mikol Chai HaOlam HaZeh, the second half of the next Mishnah. Now, 1 hour, one bit of Olam HaBa is far exceeds the sum total of all the pleasure of Olam HaZeh. It just stands to reason. We don't understand what Olam HaBa is, but just thinking logically, it's enjoyable beyond our imagination. It's not, we don't have the, asking someone who's only lived in Olam HaZeh to describe what Olam HaBa, to imagine what Olam HaBa might be like, is sort of like the same logical problem you face when you talk to someone who's blind from birth and try to explain to him the difference between sky blue and royal blue and navy blue. Now, maybe he has some abstract notion of what color is, that most people can see can see certain wavelengths of light, and different wavelengths they see as being different colors. The congenitally blind physicist might have sort of an abstract appreciation of color, but he doesn't really get it. He's never seen it. And now you're going to start to explain to him this shade of blue and that shade of blue. You know, some things go with navy, other things go with the royal blue. Well, how are you begin to have that conversation? He's never, it's beyond our intuition as a result of the sum of our experiences. He's never experienced color. We have never experienced Olam Haba. So to have an intuitive feeling, we're not there yet. But we can at least imagine, we can calculate. That's what Yaakov is saying. You can't really figure out what Olam Haba is going to be like. But we can calculate that it's far greater than the sum total of everything here. It just stands to reason. So when you think about, and now you plug that back in. So yes, this is a prose dar. But think about the magnitude of what you're creating with every decision here. We can, then all of a sudden, the little decisions, what does it really matter? You know, no one really knows. I got into bed and I realized it didn't daven Maariv yet. And once upon a time, I would have said, and it's already after every minyan, I'm just going to daven at home. Or I would say, oh, we're going to daven home at this point now, anyways. Right. Oh, does it really matter? I'm so tired. I'm already in pajamas. Pashati is kutanti echachel bashana. Does it really matter if I daven mar? I'll daven mar in bed. Right. Those little things beram lamakom. Those little things beram lachavero. They really matter. They really do matter. They really do matter, because yafasha achashel karas ruach ba'al haba mikol chay al maza. The magnitude of what you're creating is incredible. And therefore, as he says at the beginning of Mishnah Yud Zayin, Shah Achas of Tshuva Maisim Tovim is greater than all the Chayim Olam Haba. Because every little bit of Maisim Tovim here is creating something enormous. And let me leave you with the following mashal. I've thought about this over the years. I won't ask for hands. But if you think back, I don't know how many of you are frisbee throwers, maybe with the kids. Right? That's always the matter. Right? It's not me, but I'll play with the kids. Right? So maybe you remember like the first time you tried to throw a frisbee. It really gave like a good solid throw. Right? And maybe it looked something like this. Maybe your memory is something like, you throw it, it goes high, arcs high, straight, beautiful, right? And it looks like it's going straight, and it gets to the top, and then it falls to the side. Right? Instead of just going up and down straight, it goes up and then falls to the side. Way to the side. Now, the reason why that happens is usually because when you throw a frisbee, it needs to be flat, parallel to the ground. Again. There are fancier methods also, but if you throw a frisbee 101, you want it to be pretty flat. Pretty flat, it'll go straight. But if you hold that at an angle, so it'll rise well, but that little angle will mean when it gets to the top, it's going to fall off to the side. Now, here's the funny thing about that. I was holding it at an angle. Okay, I shouldn't have. How far off was I already? 15, 20 degrees. It was an inch or two. The rim was in 2 inches away from where it should have been, right? But it doesn't land 2 inches away from where it should have landed. It lands 30 feet away from where it should have landed. So how does that happen? A 2-inch divergence here ends up a 30-foot divergence of where it lands. But the answer is because all that 60 feet of flying forward was a result of just that one flick of the wrist. All the 60 feet were just created by this. If one little flick of the wrist is creating that whole journey of the frisbee, so that means it looks like a little flick of the wrist, but the entire travel of frisbee is being driven by this. So every little divergence matters. Every little improvement matters immensely. So when you realize, the quote-unquote little Olam Hazeh is creating unbelievable magnitude of Olam Haba. So then you realize, wow, Shachas of Maasim Tovim. A little positive, every little positive tweak every what seems like such a small, negligible, looks to us like a negligible improvement. Okay, so it'll be a better this, it'll be a better. Does it really matter? Does it really matter? But when you consider the magnitude of Olam Haba, then it's not just, wow, that's, you know, major incentive to do it right. It gives me perspective and understanding of the magnitude of Ma'asim Tovim Olam Hazeh, the magnitude, the significance of my choices. I use my Bechira Chafsh as well. This is a prozdar. That's not a put down to Olam Hazeh. Haskin Asur a prozdar. This is a prozdar to something incredible. This is a prozdar to the ultimate trachlan. This world, every decision is a prozdar, is an opportunity to create unimaginable Olam Haba. Haskin Asur a prozdar. So with that sort of perspective, right, we raised to the beginning of the parak, we began to see the value of thinking about things clearly. And this Mishnah takes that, as I said before, so the ultimate in adopting proper perspective, to adopt proper perspective on life as a whole and on decisions as a whole, it reminds us that the value of always asking ourselves, what would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to do in situations both large and small? I both say thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining.